Welcome to Striving for Revival with Justin Cooper. This broadcast will challenge and encourage God's people to seek revival. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to Striving for Revival.
Welcome to the Striving for Revival radio broadcast. This is Brother Cooper. I'm coming to today from somewhere along the Revival Trail. My, what a privilege it is to have you join us for the broadcast today. And what an honor is mine to take the King James Bible and to share with you some eternal truth from the very Word of God. Today we'll begin a study in chapter 46. We do have two or three verses left in chapter 45 that we will read, but the story continues on into this new chapter. And I look forward to getting into that with you. I hope you're having a good day. I hope that you've had a great day in church on Sunday or Wednesday night, whenever you hear this broadcast, and I hope that you're faithful. And let me just plug that for a minute. Please, please, if you're a Christian, be faithful to church. And it's a shame. We shouldn't have to challenge or ask Christians to be faithful to church. But in this day and hour, I'm finding more and more Christians are finding excuses to be about everything other than what we ought to be about, and that is the house of God. We're faithful to our job, we're faithful to our sport, we're faithful to our hobby, but we ought to be faithful to church. The Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But I'm afraid today that some is a growing crowd, that some isn't as few as we wish that it was. And let me challenge you, be a Sunday morning and a Sunday night and a midweek service kind of a Christian. And you say, why? Several things. Number one, because you need it. I promise you that you're not as strong of a Christian as you could be and as you should be and as God wants you to be. And that's not just you, that is all of us. And so we need to go to church to be strengthened by fellowship, strengthened by the atmosphere, and also, of course, mainly strengthened by the Word of God. So we want to get to church and be faithful there. Also, it'll encourage the brethren if you come. Iron sharpeneth iron, and you and I need to be around each other. And it's encouraging to see, hey, we're not in this thing alone. We're in this thing together. And to see you in church faithful, it stirs up other folks to be faithful. And also, thank God for this, it will help the preacher if you're there. There's just something about preaching to people and not empty pews. I tell you, it just helps you, and it encourages the heart of your pastor, and he labors every message he preaches if he's worth his weight. I tell you, he doesn't just spend a moment, but he spends days, hours, with that message in his mind and then putting it down in an outline. He puts a lot of work into that message, whether it be a midweek message or a Sunday message. There's a lot of work and toil and love and thought for you that goes into that. So make sure that you're there and take advantage of the church. That's God's institution. It's God's avenue of service in this day and hour, the local church. All right, so let's be faithful. Now, if you've missed any of our prior Bible studies, all of those are available. They're on our podcast. The podcast can be found with a simple Google search of Striving for Revival. It'll come up in a hurry, and you can use that and keep up to date with us. If you miss us on the radio, I like it because you can binge listen. You can listen to 5 or 10 at a time if you have the time to do that. And I pray that'll be a help and a blessing to you. Also, it enables you to take notes as we go through the scripture together. Now, the end of Genesis 45, verse 25, and they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan and unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. Now, you have to understand, Jacob has been living for years like Joseph is dead. He just knows it. It's settled in his mind. He feels the pain of that in his heart. Every day he lives in that reality. To him, it is just as real as though it were real that his son Joseph is dead. He believes he's been torn apart by an animal a long time ago because the brethren brought him that torn and bloody coat. And that's just how he's been living. He's been grieving a son that no longer exists. And now he gets this news. Joseph's not dead. Joseph is alive. I thought about this. Why did Jacob think Joseph is dead? Number one, because everybody said he was. Everybody said Joseph's dead, and it convinced Jacob he must be. Number two, because he felt like he was. I mean, he felt it, and he said, well, if I feel this way, it must be so. So he believed Joseph was dead. Number three, he hadn't seen any evidence to the contrary. There hadn't been any evidence in his life that Joseph was alive, so he assumed Joseph was dead. And, you know, a lot of folks are that way toward God. They believe that that church is a waste of time, that the Bible is just another book, that there's no sense in this religion thing, and they don't pay attention to it. They discard the gospel because a lot of folks have convinced them God is dead, that there is no such thing, and there is no such need. And they live their life that way because that's what everybody says. That's what they hear on the news. That's what they're taught in the school. That's what they're learned at the college. That seems to be the attitude of our culture today, that there is no need for reverence or respect of any kind of holy authority, that God is dead. Not only that, not only is that what everybody's saying, but a lot of times that's what they feel. They feel that. They feel like, well, my life, all these problems have happened unto me, and it's just not fair, and it's just not right, and if God were real, then why would he allow this to happen? And so they feel in their heart that there's nobody out there that cares. And they feel that way. And so for them, it makes it fact because of their feeling. And then number three, they haven't seen any evidence to the contrary. They haven't been in a meeting where God moved. They haven't heard a preacher that had any kind of power or conviction. They've never been provoked by the Word of God. They've not seen anything in their mind that gives evidence of the fact that God's alive. All right? So that's just how they're living. That's where Jacob was at with Joseph. He said, you know what? I know Joseph's dead, and now he gets this news all of a sudden from these same boys that Joseph's alive. But isn't that interesting? Those same boys that used to say Joseph's dead are the same ones now shouting Joseph's alive. You know, God's done that for a lot of us, hadn't he? A lot of us old boys who used to run around and thumb our nose at God and mock the church and say, we'll never do this, that, or the other. Living for the world and living in wickedness, and we were out there basically promoting the fact that God is dead. He doesn't matter. Don't pay attention to him. And now look what's happened. We've met Jesus. Thank God he revealed himself unto us. And now those same boys that used to shout Joseph's dead, now we're shouting he's alive. We're going around the world now telling everybody, hey, Jesus saves. God's on his throne. The Bible's the word of God. Heaven is sweet. Hell is hot. You better be saved in a hurry. And there is a payday someday for sin. And we get to say that. God has changed our lives. You know, most the folks you see that you look at and say, well, look at that. That's a good Christian. You know, a lot of them came out of horrible circumstances, bad past lives. They're skeletons in the closet, cobwebs in the corners of their existence. But look what God has done. And God has made us able ministers. Thank God counted us faithful, putting us in the ministry, enabled us to preach the gospel, uses us to spread light and salt around this world. And what a privilege and blessing it is. So Jacob gets the news from the same boys that were the ones who told him Joseph's dead, that Joseph's now alive. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. He just couldn't believe it. He said, boys, it's been so long, and God, you've already told me. You're the ones who brought the news to me in the first place that he's dead. I just can't believe it. They don't believe it. And all right, so now we get down here into verse 27. And they told him all the words of Joseph. So what begins to convince Jacob that Joseph's alive? The word of Joseph. Oh my, his word, the word begins to break up that stony heart of unbelief, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagon, so he saw the word and then he saw the wagon. He heard the word and then he saw the wagons. He heard what Joseph said, and then he received what Joseph did. He saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him. And watch this, those wagons loaded down with all the good things of Egypt, all that provision, all those precious things, that corn, all that is in those wagons. And when Jacob sees those wagons and hears that word, he thinks, oh my goodness, there must be something to this news that Joseph's alive. There must be something to it. He said, my eyes have been opened now. The word that they spoke, it sounds like Joseph, and it touched my heart, and I see what he's done. That has to be Joseph at work. And here's what the Bible says. The spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I'll go and see him before I die. He said, you know what? This is enough. This is all I need. And his heart goes from 0 to 60 in a split second. And he goes from cold to hot. He goes from a damp, wet blanket to now on fire. I mean, he is stirred up because of the word that he's heard and the sight that he's seen. And he said, you know what? That's enough for me. His heart goes from failing him to now it is revived. And he said, I'm going to go see Joseph. Thank God for that. I'll get to lay my eyes on the one that I said was dead, that they said was dead, that I thought was dead. I found out he is yet alive. I tell you what'll take you from 0 to 100 in a hurry is when you and I get the realization Jesus isn't dead, Jesus is alive. No matter what the talking head says, no matter what the critic thinks, no matter what the school teaches, no matter what the government officials might legislate, no matter what your backslidden brethren say, no matter what the lost crowd wants to proclaim, the Bible tells us it's so. Our heart tells us it's so. The evidence around us Exodus tells us it's so. And no matter what, there's never been a coffin filled with the body of God. He's alive and well and on His throne. Thank God He is alive. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. Until next time, pray with me for revival.
Thank you for joining us today for Striving for Revival with Justin Cooper. Listen at this time every weekday as we strive for revival.